Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless back at the helm. I got everything set at this table. I got the fork, I got the knife, and of course, you know it's your boy Timeless, so I definitely got these dishes. It's a lot of food for thought. I'm going to try and do the best that I can within 60 minutes, but I got to go all around the sports smorgasbord. From MLB to the World Series, they're right about 35 minutes away from me in Queens to what just happened last night in the middle of New England, which they're about 2 hours from me. So I'm in the middle of all of this sport mayhem. But I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside to catch a Timeless is alive.
Like finding feathers on a house
cat. You take y'all somewhere else right now.
Looking for a needle in a haystack.
A nigga got zoned out with me, man.
Right.
Got zoned out with me.
Take left to center.
Number is 907-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chef. And like I said, this is what I like about what we do here in Sports City. I'm kind of being selfish and personal. Y'all know I'm not good with being selfish and personal, but I have to say it like this. This is why I love the Bird Month. And people may feel some type of way about how they listen to us, download us, check us out. But from September to October, we're about 2 days away from November, and everybody here in Sports City know I love the month of December, including Sports City itself, because this December, God willing, everything go right, it'll be our six-year annual going down in the kitchen. So I'm proud to say that we actually are amongst being 6 years deep in this thing. So let's go, Sports City. I got a lot to get into. Basketball, football, whatever y'all got, you name it, we got it right here at the round table. Set this thing off right. And I also got some good news. I'm gonna break the news right now. Sports City, we're going to be having a college football and basketball show come around real soon within the coming week. So y'all stay tuned because we got more work to do. I've been told that I need to get stuff in gear. So I'm doing it for y'all, Sports City. I'm going even harder. So let me open this kitchen up as best as I can. We got a lot of things to get into. Calling in by way of the state of Michigan right now, the Brooklyn Knight himself, my big brother Chandler Knight is in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling lonely. You know, I'm the only brother in the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. So, but and they don't sell malt liquor up here. And then I just found out Mel Daniels passed away. So, you know.
Shout out to the former Indiana Pacer. I've definitely been reading about that situation, man. It's like a lot, especially in basketball right now, a lot of big names going down. I mean, with Mel Daniels passing away, and just at the early portion of this week, we have Flip Saunders pass away also. So it's not like I want to overlook this situation, man. It's a sad situation. And sports all together, it's big names, and people are passing away, man. So rest in peace. Shout out to Mel Daniels. I mean, we can and set it off the right way to give him a moment of silence before I do anything else. Rest in peace to Mel Daniels. Okay. Let me get into this show as best as I can. I got a oldie but goodie coming back into the kitchen to start this one off, calling out of the state of California. They think they know how to party. We got breaking news, Brian Hughes back in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling fantastic, Ty, out here on the best coast. How you boys doing?
I don't know about that best coast stuff. Stop that right now. Stop it. Stop lying to the people. Stop lying to the people. Yeah. That's the coast that hire Arnold Schwarzenegger to beat. That's the coach that hired Arnold Schwarzenegger to be the governor. They hired him to be the governor. Stop. Okay. Yes. I'll let you get
to live out on the Eastern Seaboard that may take their vacations out here. You don't see California people take their vacations out there.
Oh, if you want to get personal, you want to get personal? Do you want to get personal?
Hey, I didn't name any names. What do you mean personal?
Because I could go as far as your significant other, and I'll have her tell you which coast is the best coast.
Hey, it took her a while, but she figured it out.
Hey, you hear him stuttering, Sports City? Do you hear him stuttering, Sports City? This is what I do. This is what I do. Okay, look, let me get into this, man, because we ain't going to go back and forth talking about how y'all think y'all the best coast, which I'm not, because I'll put Nick in the game, and it'll be curtains. So let me get into this situation now. First thing I want to start off with, right, because I know I got my NFL guys here. Brian, I'm going to start with you first, and I'm going to make this very interesting. The New England Patriots, I don't care if you feel like I'm using the wrong twist of word, so what, come talk to me in the kitchen. Y'all already know the number, 917-889-9592. The New England Patriots dismantle, and I feel like I'm using the right word, dismantle the Miami Dolphins. Now, mind you, the Dolphins have been off to an interesting start since they got rid of Philbin. Everybody's caught up in the Dan Campbell hype, but the two teams that they knocked off and put off significant points was against the Tennessee Titans and also against the Houston Texans, two teams of which are struggling within the NFL. They were only able to amount one touchdown in the game and had interesting turnover after turnover up against a team that you don't want to give the ball over to in a Tom Brady situation. Your thoughts on the game last night? And I have a very interesting topic to add to this situation, but I'm going to throw it to you first.
Well, I'll keep it short because I know multiple people are going to talk about this tie. I still think that Miami is a pretty good team. I'll start by saying that. I think what you saw last night is basically what Sports City has been talking about all year. The Patriots are best when they feel like their back is against the wall. When they feel like people are counting them out, or when they feel like the league or fans are against them, that's when they play their best. Everybody's been talking about Miami, what they've done the last couple of weeks. Everybody is, you know, everybody in the offseason talked about Tom Brady and how this would affect, you know, his season moving forward, and that's when they seem to have to play at their best. The only observation, Ty, that I'll make, and I'm sure you guys can attest to this, is I still give Miami's defensive line a ton of credit. They looked just as tenacious last night as they have the previous 2 weeks. The difference is Tom Brady don't hold the ball but maybe a second or two, and he's one of the few quarterbacks that even when you're covering his receiver – they're open. I can't tell you how many throws I've seen him throw where the receiver was clearly covered and he just put the ball in the only place his receiver could catch it. And that's really the difference between, you know, Tom Brady and Ryan Tannehill. I mean, Tom Brady is what makes that, you know, engine chug, if you will. The defense obviously played great, but, you know, like I said, I mean, to me, Tom Brady is the difference.
Okay, you just sit tight to that Tom Brady situation. I got a hell of a dish that I am going to put out in Sports City, and it might carry to the end of the show, but I don't want it to, but I know it might. I'm going to start a fire here in this kitchen. Chandler, your thoughts on the game last night and also the interesting situation about the New England Patriots, or if you will, let me say it a different way, the Miami Dolphins are now without Cameron Wake for the remainder of the season. Torn Achilles, talk about a chink in the armor for this Miami Dolphins team moving forward.
Well, I don't know if it's that. I mean, they still have a pretty good defensive front without Cameron. They still have Sue. They still have the kid Olivier Vernon. They still had the kid who was the backup D lineman, who was the only one who had any sacks up until Philbin got fired. So, I mean, yeah, it's a loss, but if you really look at that game, they didn't lose because of the defense. You know, they lost because Ryan Tannehill shit the bed. Literally. I mean, you can't keep putting your defense in them situations. How do you forget the snap count? That wasn't on the center, by the way. That was on him. He totally spaced the fact that he was about to get the ball snapped. Did he think he was home, sitting on the couch? I mean, the look on his face was like, oh, yeah, I'm playing football tonight. I'm supposed to catch that. So, you know, this I wouldn't say they just left with them. What I would say is the Dolphins' offense shit the bed. And the defense did the best they could. They held them to less than 30 points, which was quite a feat considering how bad the offense was. Most other teams, the Patriots would have put up 40 on them, easy. They would have put 40 up. So I'm not gonna knock the Dolphins defense for that one. The Dolphins defense did the best they could. The Patriots offense is just – go ahead.
Wait, 36 points isn't close to 40, though?
They got 36? I thought it was only 26.
It was 36-7.
Oh, well, still, they didn't get 40. I mean, I'm being honest. Look at the game, man. Tell me that most teams, the Patriots, would have put up 40 easy. And, I mean, the game looked easy. If you look at Cameron Wake had like four tackles, a sack, at least one sack. I thought he had two. At least one sack before he blew out his Achilles. The defense was getting back there, but Brady and that offense is at such a level that any mistake, you're going to die. I mean, you know, they're playing chess, and everybody else is playing checkers, man. That's where they are right now. So any team they beat, you can't really – crucify that team because last I checked, they've beaten everybody they played. Everybody.
Right.
Everybody.
Right. They took Brady out for the fourth quarter. He was sitting for the fourth.
Yes, and that was the only game they did that in, by the by, which should tell you that the defense actually was getting to him. They got a couple of licks in on him, so they took him out. Because in the other games, that Brady played the fourth quarter all the way through in every other game. But they took him out in this one. So, to me, that says something. Like I said, I'm not really going to kill the Dolphins' defense. Their offense put them in some really, really bad situations. Ryan Tannehill, I don't know what your problem is, but you better get it together. Because the Dolphins have a shot to do something in the AFC, and Ryan Tannehill is the only thing holding them back. But for the Patriots, man, look, they're just on another level right now. You know, and, you know, I hate the Patriots, but there's not a team in the NFL that can beat them right now. I don't care what team you name. I mean, the team in the NFL can beat them right now.
Slow down. That's a portion of my dish. Get out of there. I'm going to make this interesting. We do have Nacho in the building. Nacho, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling all right.
Your thoughts on the game? Do you feel different? Do you agree with what Shannon's throwing out about the Dolphins being more or less a less fortunate offensive team, but the defense being able to apply pressure to Brady in the game last night?
You know, yeah, I'm in that agreement that defense played very well in that first half. It was the second half that they came out. It didn't do much. I mean, Tom Brady did that last-minute drive there at the end to get it to 19 points in the first half. But for all intents and purposes, you know, they did a very good job up until the two-minute drill. But, you know, who's better who's better than Tom Brady at the two-minute drill right now? And he did that pretty well. But, yeah, I have to say this defense didn't do that bad. They played as much as they can. Cameron went out with that injury, and it went all downhill from there. And Tom Brady did play in the fourth quarter. He got that last touchdown there, 7-17 left in the fourth. So, I mean, that's over half the fourth is gone, and he's still in the game. So, he was still playing in the fourth quarter. It's not like they pulled him before the quarter began. It was 22-7 going into the fourth. So, I mean, you know, we knew looking at that Tannehill and that Dolphins offense, they weren't going to be able to muster up 15 points and tie that up in a quarter. But, you know, it's one of those things that if it was a good quarterback or an offense that maybe was just slowed down, this offense was completely dominated by Bill Belichick's defense. Bill Belichick was able to outsmart Dan Campbell on both offense and defense, prove to everyone that this man who just spent his last year in the NFL less than 7 years ago that he's nowhere near ready to coach. So that's all it came down to me. Talent-wise on this Miami Dolphins team, up and down, excluding the quarterback position, they're pretty much well matched up. And then when it came to the quarterback position coming into this game, Tannehill was supposed to be well enough that he could score 24 points at minimum, you know, and maybe this defense can do something in the effect of hold Tom Brady to 22 or maybe take it to overtime or something. This was supposed to be a close game, you know, going in talent-wise. But the way that, you know, I think Dan Campbell is inept at coaching and just running off of that free spirit now we don't have Fieldman here feeling just won't get you over the hump when you're playing the Patriots. So I think that, you know, it was more Bill Belichick and Dan Campbell and Dan Campbell's ineptitude to run a team as much as it is because when you go against the Houston Texans who have no, you know, applicable offense, and then you go before that, I can't remember the team before that, they're just another inept team that you dominate. You can't do that against the Patriots just going off that that good feeling that Philbin's not there anymore.
The team that they played before the Texans was the Tennessee Titans. And
exactly.
Here's the situation that I'm addressing right now. If they wanted to, they could have ran that score up, and they could have murdered the Dolphins if they want to. And this is where I am going to start the fire right here in the kitchen. I'm going to start it right now. And I feel bad that I have to say this, but I'm going to. If he gets another Super Bowl win, Brady is the Michael Jordan of the NFL. I'm going to say it right now. And I'm not pegging them to win the Super Bowl this year. I really feel like a team will probably stop them somewhere in this season because I really don't want to see them go into the postseason with a 16-0 record and everybody at the edge of the seat to see if they go perfect. And if they fall flat again like they did in 07, it's like the biggest letdown ever. Like, I feel like Denver could put a threat to them. I feel like there could be a team that we could overlook that say, you know, the Patriots should take care of business and they fall asleep and get caught by surprise, similar to the game that they got caught last year up against Kansas City when the Arrowhead and got beat up pretty bad. And I think that turned the season around for Tom Brady and company. But they had Deion Lewis terrorizing that defense. They didn't know what to do with him. He was the X factor in the middle of that offense. Now, you got a situation where that defense pays attention to him. This opens the whole game up. Don't forget, they got a safety, scored a touchdown, and Gronkowski got to the end zone so easy and freely. There was a portion that Brandon LaFell said, don't nobody on that Dolphins team want to tackle Gronk. Nobody. So you already got a big cog in the middle of the field in Gronkowski. You already got Edelman, who's calling himself Slotty Pippen. And Amendola, a big piece of this offense right now, too. And then you got Deion Lewis, who is a scat back with strength. I mean, this is a wild card offense that you got to really deal with. And the mastermind behind it is Belichick and Brady. Like, I think they're going to be a tough out, whether within this season or in the postseason. But I don't want it to be a situation where they're looking like they're running the table. I really feel like it's going to be a team that can stop them, i.e., I know a lot of people don't feel comfortable with Peyton's neck, shoulder, and throw motion, but that Denver defense has been saving them all season. I think that's probably one of the lone teams that could put an interesting game in front of the Patriots. If not, this could be a situation where everybody's at the Patriots' mercy. Oh, there's also another game, and I can't even tell Chandler out of this situation. The Jets do play them back in New Jersey, so that's another game that the Patriots can be fortunate enough to end up taking, you know, overlooking for the matter of that situation. But if not, and I there's no way I could overlook this situation. Brady's actually looking better now. And the worst part about it, too, while I'm going to spice this up, is the way that they got to start the season. He was looking at a four-game suspension, pissed off, in the courtroom with Goodell, and then won the case. And then now that's looking like he took that so personal that no team is safe. Nobody is safe. And I feel like I can start right there, too. Brian, I'm going to come to you on this one, and I do have somebody in the kitchen right behind you. Your thoughts on the Brady statement, if he is to get another one. And I'm not just tagging the 2015-2016 at them getting a Super Bowl right now, but knowing that he has a whole bunch of young players with him, Edelman's young, Gronk is young, Amendola's not old either, this is scary. This is scary. Brady stays in the game.
Well, I think that there's you could make a definite argument that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback that's played the game. You know, we can get into all the, you know, the different debates about different eras, the different debates about, you know, a more pass-heavy offense versus, you know, run-based offense, you know, the different weapons and this and that. But ultimately, the bottom line is, just like in any other sport, because you compared him to Michael Jordan, ultimately quarterbacks are judged by championships, by crunch time. How do you play in the postseason? And Tom Brady is by far and away better than just about anybody of this generation. When you start talking about postseason, you can't even put Peyton Manning in the same breath. So, obviously he's up there. Now, everybody mentions Brady and Belichick, and I don't want to detract from that tie, but what I will tell you is, Brady and Belichick, maybe check a little, but he is not the one that forced Ryan Tannehill and the Miami Dolphins offense to go three and out seven times in a row. Brady and Belichick deserve a lot of credit, but you know what? I think not enough people give the credit to the New England defense, who had five sacks and, as Chandler mentioned, two turnovers in Miami territory. To me, that's really what changed that game. Because if you remember, they had the one early score, and they were basically settling for either field goals. They had a safety. It was all piddly stuff until, if you will, the proverbial floodgates opened when Ryan Tannehill threw that pick on, like, his own 40-yard line. And the bottom line is Miami's defense did get tired. But I think New England's defense, I think quietly, you know, give Belichick some credit for building that, but also give their GM credit for the way they've built this team. You know, Ryan Logan was not a first-round pick at cornerback. You know, you look at some of these guys, Devin McCourty, he was not a first-round pick at safety. You know, Gronkowski's obviously worked out fantastic for them, but he was not a first-round tight end. And so, you know, they've been able to develop talent, and they've been able to identify guys that are going to work in their system. Brady, for me, is the best, hands down, of this generation, but that defense is quietly a lot better than people want to give it credit for.
Okay, Nacho, your thoughts on this situation? No, let me get the caller in here. Calling out of the state of Georgia, you have Pat in the building. Pat, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
What up?
What's going on, Pat? Your thoughts on the situation being addressed, i.e. the game for Tom Brady, in the discussion of being the NFL's best?
At the quarterback position?
Quarterback position, player, whatever you want to throw out there. I'm here to start a fire.
Oh, okay. Well, as far as quarterback is concerned, you know, without a doubt, I wouldn't say he's the best player in the NFL, no. But he's definitely the best quarterback. You know, when any time a quarterback can play for the same coach in the same system their entire career, they're gonna fare very well. I mean, in that you can't overlook that. This is not a team that changes a whole lot from year to year in terms of what they do and their style of play. So New England has a huge advantage in the sense that Belichick and Brady have been together the whole time. Well, we're talking almost 15 years now?
15, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, to me, it should be exactly the way that it is. Because when you look at all the other teams, especially the bottom feeder teams, they get a quarterback, and that quarterback has a new offensive coordinator, if not every year, every other year. when you go back to when Montana had his success, same exact thing. Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, same system. Whole time he was there. When Steve Young came, he had to wait his turn, but nothing changed. And when George Seifert took over, he left the offense alone and didn't mess with it because there was nothing wrong with it. That's how it works. What amazes me is how other teams, being that sports, especially team sports, is such a copycat league. It doesn't matter what league you're in. Once other teams see what works, they try to emulate the exact same thing. And it's like no other team in the NFL is even attempting to do what New England does, which I just don't understand. You look at Buffalo. Buffalo has two defensive linemen that they're paying over $100 million for each. Defensive linemen. Okay, you got Houston, J.J. Watt, $100 million. And then you go and draft Clowney for what? Okay, we see how that's working out. And when you look at the way that the teams go about their business, it's not complicated what New England is doing. And it just I just don't understand how other teams are not figuring this out. Just like Brian had talked about in terms of, okay, this isn't a team full of number one draft picks. When you look at New England's offense, their most athletic player from a talent perspective, purely athletic, is Gronkowski. That's it. That's it. Tom Brady, great athlete? No. Never was. Never will be. Edelman, excellent player. Amendola, excellent player. Off the charts, talent-wise, in terms of athleticism, no. But they're showing you how you can trump talent with consistency. And number one, the one thing New England does better than everybody else is execute. That's the number one thing that I see. They execute. And if you're going to beat them, you have to execute at the level that they do. It's not going to take a whole team full of number one draft picks. It's not going to take some elaborate, convoluted scheme. It's going to take execution. They are head and shoulders above the rest of the league on the defensive side of the ball, on the offensive side of the ball, when it comes to something as simple as execution. What does Belichick say? Do your job. It's real simple. And when you look at it and people are just in this phase of amazement. Oh, New England this, New England that. And what they're doing is very simple. Know what your job is and do it. Execute. If you do that, everything else will work. And that's what they're doing. Comparing him to Michael Jordan? No.
If he gets a fifth Super Bowl
and
at the quarterback
position,
If he gets eight Super Bowls, you can't compare him to Mike.
You can't compare a chicken to a cow.
Wow.
You can't. You're comparing apples and oranges. In basketball, one player can make a huge difference in the way basketball is set up. At a certain point in the game, one player can take the game over.
Let's do this quick because I've got to feed them too. I can't just have this behind you. Tom Brady right. can't.
If Amendola drops passes, if Edelman drops passes, if Gronk fumbles, What do you have?
That's a whole bunch of turnovers. Well, if they're fumbling, that's a turnover.
Then it doesn't happen. I'm not saying he's not a great quarterback. He is. But he needs everybody that's out there. He needs that defense to play the way that it does. He needs Edelman to make the tough catches. He needs Amendola to make the tough catches. When he's got nobody to throw to, he needs Gronkowski in the seam to come up with that back shoulder catch running backwards with the damn DB all over him, and he still catches the ball. He needs that stuff to happen. If that stuff doesn't happen, New England goes nowhere. And the football is the ultimate team game. It's not like basketball. It's not like the fourth quarter where you can just give the ball to Michael. You can give the ball to Michael and everybody can just get the hell out the way. Game over. You can't do that in football.
But you've seen Brady do this, though. You've seen Brady win games like this with the ball in his hands, fourth quarter or overtime comeback. You haven't?
Okay,
fine. You're right. We will agree to disagree. At least I feel different about that. And we just seen him do that in the Super Bowl with a double-digit deficit just as fresh as 8 months ago. 8 months ago that just happened. Okay.
Right.
But
here's the caveat to that, okay?
You just said we're going to agree to disagree.
I want to follow what you said because you talked about what Brady did in the fourth quarter. What happens if that DB doesn't make the play at the end of the game? They lose.
Right.
That's my point.
And he still had to make up a double-digit deficit up against the Legion of Boom. Let's be real here, Pat, because I do got to get to the other people. But let's be real here. Do you think Edelman could be a star somewhere else? Honest.
You're missing my point.
Answer my question. No. It's not about your point right now. I want you to answer my question. Can Edelman be a star somewhere else?
Most of the
yes
players
no.
on
yes
New England.
Yes or no, man. Yes or no. Yes or
most
no.
of them wouldn't be stars on other teams.
Okay, then. So Brady is making these dudes shine like crazy. Like crazy.
That's what a great quarterback does.
So you're helping me here, right?
No, because if the DB doesn't make that play at the end of the game and that short slant route works, they lose. You can't deny that.
Right. I can't bad mouth what Pete Carroll was thinking right there because everybody and their mother, if I got Marshawn Lynch right there with the game on the line at the half a yard line, I'm giving Marshawn. If I don't know how they're in shotgun throwing a slant, that's their fault. That's the play call that they came up with.
And my whole point with that is New England was prepared for it. Brady wasn't on the field. It had nothing to do with Brady. Nothing.
Let's talk about what he could control. Him making that comeback on a significant defense in an offense that you can't shoot at either. Like Russell Wilson and Marshawn, and we can't forget about the catch that Chris caught basically off of the side of his hip, because that let's talk about how that ball got down here. The whole other situation, we're getting beyond the point. The fact of the matter is, if he and I'm not even saying this season, I'm not saying that the Patriots win the Super Bowl this year. I'm just saying if he does not, another one. We have not seen a player get 5 Super Bowls. We have not. None of
yes,
us here.
Yes, we have. Charles Haley. Charles Haley's got 5.
I'm talking about influentially.
You're talking about what?
Like, had the biggest influence on the situation, like your Joe Montana, like your Bradshaw. Like I'm talking about.
And
he was on part of interested defenses in San Francisco and in Dallas. where I could probably name two or more people who were part of those defenses that were just as potent to the defenses, whether he was in San Francisco with Ronnie Lott and them or in Dallas. We could just go through the plethora of all-stars that they had there.
And he won five in a span of like 8 years, not 15.
And not with one team either.
Don't matter. It don't matter.
Okay. So you play right in the conversation. Who's more significant right now? Right now, too. And he has one more win than Brady in the Super Bowl. Who's more significant to the game?
Well, Tyrone.
Anybody, y'all have a personal conversation here.
Yeah, let the rest of them talk.
I've been trying to move away from this. Okay, fair enough. Tell me your thoughts on this situation.
First of all, you don't want to hear what someone else has to say because you don't want to acknowledge a couple of things. One, a quarterback is only as good as the players around them. Here's my point. If nobody makes any catches, Tom Brady don't look good. You know, Brady single-handedly. You can't single-handedly do anything in football because when you throw the ball, somebody's got to catch it. Somebody actually has to catch the ball. People got to block for you. Your running back actually has to go through the holes. So there's no single-handed anything in football. So Tom Brady didn't bring them back by himself, first of all. But if you want to compare him to Jordan, sure. He's just like Jordan in the fact that people are going to erroneously call him the greatest winner in the game when there are people with more rings than him, just like there are more people with rings than Jordan. So, yeah, he's exactly like Michael Jordan. Another guy people are calling the greatest and not take into account that there were people who have won more than he has. Oh, and by the way, every single player on those 49er and Cowboys teams have said from management on down to the ball boys that they wouldn't have won those Super Bowls without Charles Haley being on the team. Every single one, and we're talking Hall of Famers, saying that about Charles Haley, that he was the reason they won. He was that disruptive. See, I know you're not young enough to actually remember Charles Haley playing. I am. Charles Haley was Lawrence Taylor before Lawrence Taylor. Charles Haley played with his hands in the dirt. He played with his hands out of the dirt. You had to account for him and damn near triple team him and he still got through your line. That's how impactful he was to the game. But hey, if you want to compare Brady to Jordan, it's an absolute great comparison because it's another guy that people are calling the greatest winner when there are other people who've won more than he has.
Okay, fair enough. So you agree that these two are similar, correct? As you just said.
And the fact that somebody that people are calling them the greatest when they're not, absolutely I agree with that.
Okay. Now, so your thoughts on the situation, and we do have a caller in queue.
I don't, you know, if he wins another one, that puts a question to what he's already stated, saying he wants to play another 10 years. That's possibly 48 years old. We all know it's realistically five. So we're looking at a man who's going to be possibly 43 years old. If he gets five rings in what would be a 20-year span of an NFL career, he would go down as possibly the greatest quarterback to ever play the NFL game. But I don't know, you know, like I said before, and I said this the last time we made this comparison, somebody brought up the Aaron Rodgers to Michael Jordan, the Jamal Charles to LeBron James, those things of that nature. I've said it before, they're relevant in a non-conversation to me. The sports are two entirely different sports for you to compare a single player to another single player. So I think the comparison is out of whack in general. But as it pertains to the NFL sport, if within the next 5 years he wins another Super Bowl, him and Belichick win one. He's been with Belichick that long. Then when we talk about the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game, when we bring up the Montanas, when we bring up the Troy Aikmans and the ones with the rings, we bring up the Peyton Mannings because he's so great in the regular season. He will be the best of all of them at the end of that career, barring anyone in the future, doing something better than that.
But up until then, you would have to make him the greatest, and he would be the best in that conversation of NFL quarterbacks to play the game.
Okay, calling out of Georgia, we got Matt in the building. Matt, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
Hey, feeling pretty good. How y'all doing?
Doing all right. The discussion here is from what we seen last night, your thoughts on the Patriots taking care of business up against the Dolphins, and what I threw out there is if Brady is able to notch another one, and I'm not saying this year, I'm not saying it's 2015, 2016 that they have to win the Super Bowl, which the way that they're playing ball, I don't see a defense that's slowing them up. Unless Denver could get in there or the Jets could play a tough game against them, because something about the Jets and Patriots rivalry, the Jets played them well. Even in the last game the Jets played the Patriots, it wasn't a blowout. It was a one-score game. So the Jets could actually make this a tough one for them coming down to MetLife. If Brady is able to notch another Super Bowl, is this the best player we've seen in the NFL?
He's definitely one of the most arrogant players. He sure gets away with a lot. He gets paid a ridiculous amount of money. Some of his wide receivers make $900K, which is chump change in the NFL. But somehow, you know, the system works there. You know, last night was kind of a rollover game. I think a lot of people thought Miami would keep it close. But if you look at Miami's schedule, who have they really beat? Nobody. And people thought because they beat the Texans and I think it was the Titans or somebody else that Miami was going to stay with New England. But as we all saw, it wasn't even close. And I think Brady's in kind of a weak division. And I really can't answer yes or no if he's the greatest of all time, but I don't think the Patriots are going to repeat. So that's why I'm going to stand with that fact. At the end of his career, we could probably settle that debate and with statistical analysis and whatnot. But I don't think I can answer yes or no to that question right now.
Now, let me question you right here. You called the AFC East weak. Do you honestly mean that?
Maybe it's tougher top to bottom. Like, you know, they have a tougher four teams compared to what Tom Brady has to play. You did bring up the Jets though. And they sure made Brady work. There's going to be some other teams that will challenge him. I know it's hard to see the Patriots not winning the Super Bowl because I'm sure everybody's loading up on it and thinks it's a lock. But I really think someone else is going to step up. And you could maybe find the winner on Sunday Night Football. Either Green Bay or Denver could be a pretty good challenge to New England this year.
Now, and right now I am pulling up the remainder of the Patriots schedule. And see if you guys feel like there's a team that can fortunately stop them. And I can't even say fortunately. Other than the Broncos and the Jets, like I mentioned, which I feel like both defenses could actually play up on the guys. But listen to the remainder of the schedule. They have the Redskins at home. They have the Giants in New York, the Bills, and that's another team in the AFC East, which I thought they would actually be playing better ball this season, but they're not. Then they have the Broncos, the Eagles, Texans, the Titans, the Jets after Christmas, and the Dolphins to end the season in Florida. The Jets, the Broncos, and the Bills are probably, and I can't really count off the Giants as much. I get four teams that give strong consideration to knock the Patriots off one way or another. If the Dolphins are the end all if they're taking care of business throughout this season. Nacho, your thoughts on the situation. Which team do you think could actually stop this run? Because this offense is clicking on all cylinders, running the ball, passing in the flats, passing downfield, middle of the field. They're doing it all.
You know, I think the thing is Denver. Honestly, they have to go to Denver. That Denver defense, and Matt made a point Sunday night, we're going to see what this Denver defense is made of. We're going to see if it can handle, a top two quarterback in the NFL and what it could do and what he can do with his players and how he puts the ball. Devontae Adams is supposed to be back, Eddie Lacy playing. So with the run game and that, see what this defense can handle. But I think if we're talking about a whole team being able to beat New England as a whole team, I think if Denver has a run game established at that time of the game, when that game arrives, New England at Denver, if by that time Denver has established that they can run the ball, to help out Peyton Manning along with that defense. I think Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos are, you know, the one, the best chance to beat them before the end of the regular season. And then, of course, right underneath them are the Jets. After that, it's a crapshoot. Maybe they have a bad game. Maybe you have a case of the dropsies on an entire game where maybe instead of just Brandon LaFell, the entire team can't catch a ball. And then, you know, then at that point you have to rely on that defense. And it's a crapshoot at that point if Bill Belichick can outcoach the other defensive coordinator. So after Denver and New York Jets, I can't see anyone else positively having a chance. But like I said, if New England has a bad game, then anyone can. But if we're talking about New England playing at its best and the other team playing at its best, it's definitely Denver than New York Jets.
Chandler, your thoughts on the remainder of the schedule? Do you remember the teams, or should I go over them again?
No, it doesn't matter the teams. I'm going to garnish your dish while I'm saying this. I'm going to do one of yours. I'm going to garnish it for you because you keep talking about Brady. How many games did Bill Belichick win with Matt Castle as his quarterback?
11.
Okay, so apparently that's a pretty damn good coach. So maybe it's not all Brady, but anyway, I would say that I don't think Denver has a shot to beat the Patriots because of their offense, not because of their defense. I think the Denver offense is terrible. The Denver offense is terrible. And they're going to continue putting their defense in bad situations, and you can't put a defense in a bad situation against Bill Belichick, along with the fact that Belichick owns Peyton Manning. We've forgotten about that. He owns Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning is already terrible this year. So I don't think the Broncos have a shot to beat them. Matter of fact, I think the game's a blowout. I think it's going to be a team that no one expects to beat the Patriots. I think it's going to be a team that we pencil in as a W. That's the team that's going to beat the Patriots. I'm a Jet fan. I don't think we're going to beat the Patriots. You know that. I picked against us when we played them the last time. I'm going to pick against us when we play them again because – they just find a way to beat us. We do something. We drop a pass like Brandon Marshall did. We don't make a tackle like one of the DBs did. There's always something. And that's the thing with these Patriots is other teams, when they make that one mistake, the average team doesn't capitalize. The Patriots do. And if you look at the Broncos, Peyton Manning is making a lot of those one mistakes. Other teams haven't capitalized. I think the Patriots will. So I think the Broncos get blown out personally.
Damn.
That game takes place in Denver too, Chandler. That's not in July.
I understand that. And I still think they get smoke checked.
If we're going by Chandler's premise that it's a team that I've already penciled in as a W, it would be the New York Giants. And it would be because JPP came back from injury, and I would have definitely penciled that as a W regardless of that. But I could just see that happening for the New York papers and everything. JPP's back, and his first game back, they beat the undefeated Patriots again.
Do you know what team I think could actually make this interesting? And this is the one that Chandler is talking about. And I hate to say it like this because of the way that they are playing right now. The Houston Texans. That whole coaching staff knows them. That whole coaching staff from Cornell, Vrabel, they know them. And this is a situation where they look terrible. They look and the reason why I say it is because I got the Texans defense and can't get a good defense. Fantasy, these dudes are, listen, last week I had a negative 10 fantasy because they were getting lit up. They were getting lit up. Like, they are not getting to the quarterback. I don't see J.J. Watt doing no whipping, nay-nay. Jadeveon Clowney, just like I was hit on before, like, he's injured again. And the one thing that Chandler hit on is, where is Brian Cushing? So Chandler said, tell me what he's doing in the regular season. Chandler, you know what? I call you Nostradamus for a reason because he is nowhere to be found in the middle of his defense. But knowing that O'Brien knows the system, Cornell knows the system, Vrabel knows offense and defense, that could be a recipe for disaster down in Houston. And it's up to Hoyer to win the game because this is Hoyer's job now. They got rid of Mallett. And Hoyer is also a former Patriot, too. So that could be a game there. I don't know about the Titans. The Titans might be a game that could surprise people, or the Eagles if Chip could do something with that offense. I don't know what he's going to have to do to deal with Belichick, but it'd be interesting to see if he could pull that one off. And that's in Gillette also. But Pat, did you get together or go at a team that you like to see knock off the Patriots, or think they can put together the right recipe to knock them off?
You mean for the regular season?
Right.
I think it could be either the Eagles or the Jets.
Interesting enough. Okay. Matt, did you go or no? Matt, you didn't say anything. So out of the remaining schedule, I can't even overlook the Redskins. I mean, everybody's overlooking the Redskins. Could the Redskins come in Gillette and do work?
I think that they could very well remain undefeated, but I've said from day one the NFL loves parity. I don't think that they're going to win another Super Bowl.
I'm not saying Super Bowl this year. Look, I don't want y'all to get hung up on me saying what's happening right now to happen this year. If he wins the Super Bowl this year, repeats and gets the fifth now, I don't know what type of conversation we're going to have at the end of the year. I don't know. That's a whole nother dilemma. I'm gonna get past that. Anything else around Brady or the Patriots or how the remainder of their schedule goes down before we move forward?
Yeah, I'd like to know when you became such a Patriot lover. That's all I want to know, Mr. Ryan fan. You living up there in New England, Tom Brady's so good. Oh, Tom Brady. What happened to you, man?
What quarterback's better than him in the league right now?
I got nothing for that.
Okay. That is what I'm talking about. That is exactly what I'm talking about.
That's called being a front runner.
Wait, what'd you say?
That's called being a front runner.
I am not a Patriot fan. You can listen. Chandler, no, I don't like the Patriots. Chandler's doing this before everything.
Can't tell by the way you're talking tonight, buddy.
Okay, well, you take it how you want it. If you can't take the heat, you know what you can do. You know what you can do. Look, the fact of the matter is I haven't seen Barbie play like this. He's moving that ball everywhere. It's going to take a special defense to slow them down. That's what I see. For you to stop Gronk, to stop Edelman, to stop Lewis out of the backfield. Lewis just got here after a broken leg. It don't even look like his leg was broken. It don't even look like his leg was broken. He's shaking the crap out of dudes. This is his X factor behind them, and then to pound your way, they got LeGarrette Blount. Like, come on.
Hey, Ty.
I don't know. From the remainder of the schedule, it's going to be tough.
Hey, Ty.
Yeah.
Can we give a little credit to the management in New England? I mean, you guys know that, but, I mean, and I like all you guys to comment on this. Look at some of these guys that they bring in there, that they scout, and they find guys who will fit. Like Deion Lewis, his agent actually had an offer from another team for more money, and his agent told him, no, go to New England because they know how to use players. Look, the Cleveland Browns, who need a running back, okay, how many teams in the league right now need a running back, and all of them passed on this kid Lewis? You understand what I'm saying? All of them passed on this kid. Wes Welker, go back to Wes Welker in Miami. Did anybody, when he was playing for the Miami Dolphins, ever think he would amount to anything more than maybe a third down specialist at best? That was like his ceiling.
He was a punt and kick returner down there in Miami.
Right, but I'm saying his ceiling was maybe he might morph into a third down guy, and that was probably his ceiling. Guy turned into an all pro. Julian Edelman, same thing. This was a guy who was a quarterback in college. He came to the NFL, and his ceiling when he first came in, nobody thought this guy would be what he is right now. Nobody thought Deion Lewis was going to do what he did. You run up Troy Brown. Troy Brown was a quarterback, safety, wide receiver, defensive back, you name it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the scouting and the scouting and the way they can find these guys, man, is just it's unbelievable.
I give it to the management, too. I mean, I don't understand how they get these guys to work in different positions. I mean, knowing that we've seen other players out of, you know, come out of college and then go to a different position and excel. I mean, I can think back as, you know, Cordell Stewart. He was a quarterback at Colorado, ended up being flash, running back, quarterback, wide receiver. Then the Troy Brown situation. Belichick was using them both ways in the same game. Like, we haven't even seen players do that, play offense and defense. And he was catching touchdowns and picking balls off in the same game. Like, that's crazy in itself. I give the Patriots organization a ton of credit to use every ounce of thing. I can't just say adrenaline or what. Just everything out of these players and get maximum potential out of these guys. I'm to be honest. And just like I said, you can be mad all you want. To cap it off is number 12 behind that situation. I'm sorry. You remove Brady from that situation. You put Garoppolo there. I don't think Garoppolo's as successful as Matt Castle was in 2011 or whatever season that was in 2009. No, I don't think that's happening. So it's tough. But like I said, the defenses I think that can deal with him, it's something about Eli. Eli knows how to figure out Brady. That's funny. I don't really want to even overlook that game because I think that could be trouble, and it's in New York too. But the Bills' defense, I think, could probably make it a trouble game. The Broncos, I'm shaky about the Texans, but I know they all know each other far too well. And the Jets also. The Titans, the Dolphins, at the end of the season, unless Brady and them don't want to win that game and they let the Dolphins pick that one up, don't risk anybody getting hurt week 17, that'll be a whole nother situation in itself. All right, so we got that one down. I did want to talk about the start of Game 3 tonight in this World Series. I want to see how you guys are going to get after this one. Do the Mets pace or actually try to win a game in the middle of the of Queens? I was going to say the Bronx. I'm thinking Yankees, and I can't stand them either. This is crazy. I'm right here in the middle of all this madness. Or do the Royals actually get ready for a sweep and bring these brooms out, take care of business tonight? Matt, I'll go to you first on this situation. Your thoughts on Game 3 tonight in Queens?
Well, this is where I want to have to give myself a little bit of credit because I came in here the other night. I said they'd win Game 1, although it was hairy and it was kind of fluky, a ninth-inning bomb by Alex Gordon to save the day. They pulled it off, and I also said they would win the series. And you know what? I rolled the dice twice on them. I took them in Game 2 as well. I'm coming right back with the Kansas City Royals with cheese tonight. And I might have my broom in my closet, and I might go grab it. I can't decide on Game 4, but I think Kansas City beats them again tonight. Yep, 3-0 Kansas City after tonight.
So this is going to be a sweep, is what you're telling me.
Well, I'm not saying that yet, Ty. I'm not saying that yet, but my broom is – I can almost see it. It's trying to creep out of the closet, and I think I got some – There's a little bit of New York mutts on the ground over here.
Okay, fair enough. Pat, your thoughts on this Game 3 situation? Who do you like? The Mets to actually make this a 2-1 series, or do the Royals actually put a 3-0 lead in front of the Mets and put a very interesting situation in front of the Mets to have to win 4 straight?
Man, Kansas City is hitting everything moving. And I thought the Mets' strength was supposed to be their pitching. If the first two games are any indication, I just don't see how – I mean, I don't know who the Mets' next two starters are going to be, but they're going to have to do something because Kansas City just attacks the plate, man. I've never seen a team do that. They don't mess around. And that one kid they got, I can't remember his name, he ain't hitting a whole lot of home runs, but damn it, he's knocking the cover off the ball of everything. Everything they throw at him, he's hitting in the field to play. That guy that had the inside the park home run, he is incredible the way he... Man, he's almost he's like a Rod Carew with power. Nothing gets by. So I don't like the Mets' chances because Kansas City is beating them at their strength, or what I thought was their strength, which is their pitching staff. and they're just tattooing the hell out of that pitching staff right now. So I'm not, I don't know about a sweep, but it, to me, it looks like Kansas City's going to win the series.
Now, to your thoughts, I know you're not big on this, but your thoughts on if Kansas City actually puts a 3-0 lead in front of the Mets, or do the Mets try to even it, or get close to evening this thing out and getting a game in this series?
You know, this is supposed to be the Mets' strength right here. The fact that they've got Noah Syndergaard on the mound, who for almost any other team in baseball would be a day one or day two pitcher right here. So the fact that they've got him up there, this is supposed to be their strength, that if day one and day two didn't go the way they wanted, they come home, they've got Noah Syndergaard. If there's any chance, he's got to have a great game. I take the Mets tonight. I think Noah does his job. I think he gets it done tonight. And I'm going with the Mets. I know I was wrong the first game. I was looking real good until Gordon came up to bat there in the ninth. Actually, before he came up to bat, I looked at my girl. I said, hey, watch this guy hit this home run right here. So when on Sports City, when I go back, I look like a fool. And sure enough, there goes Alex Gordon making me look like a fool again. It was fun to watch. But tonight, I think Noah Syndergaard gets the victory.
Last but not least, Mr. Knight, do your hometown boys get it done and put a game up in this series, or do Kansas City take care of business and basically get one game away from where they fell short last season?
I wasn't here when Matt was talking about he made all these proclamations, so I guess I'll just have to take his word for it. But the name you're thinking of, Pat, is Alcides Escobar. That's the player you're thinking of. And Nacho, his name is Thor, not Noah. It's Thor. Ty, you know I don't gamble. Ty, you know I don't gamble. Right?
Right.
You know that, right? Okay.
Yes, sir.
If I were to bet tonight, I would put my money on the Mets. Yordano Ventura has not gotten past the sixth inning in any of his starts in the postseason. He is young and combustible. Syndergaard is the only Mets pitcher of all of them, even though Harvey is the more experienced, who is capable of pitching backwards. By that I mean the Kansas City Royals are a great fastball hitting team. Not so much on the breaking ball and fastball counts. Syndergaard can't pitch backwards, which means in a count, say 2-0, where everybody and their mother knows you need to throw a fastball to get over, he'll throw a breaking ball. Okay? Which usually confuses hitters. He can pitch, that's called pitching backwards. Syndergaard can do it. Harvey can't, and what's his face can't. The pitcher after this is the kid Mets. They're going to lose that game. But tonight, the Mets are going to win. And, Ty, I'm going to give you a name that's going to have a good game tonight. You know I hate this guy. Curtis Grandison is going to have a game tonight.
Grandy, huh? Okay. And I know Chandler can't stand him from them Yankee days. This is going to be interesting. Now, I really don't want to see the Mets get swept, especially how all the hoopla out here, everybody is screaming Mets before the World Series came around, and now everybody's quiet. Everybody is hoping that it does not go down the wrong way. And just like Pat hit on, I mean, Kansas City is playing great offense right now and actually forcing the Mets to actually try and do something up against their pitching staff, and they haven't been able to do it. And I think they have an emotional chip on their shoulder right now from what happened last year, and also with the pitcher Volquez, his father passing, he had to leave the team to go attend the funeral also. So that's another emotional, I don't want to really say advantage, but an emotional chip that they can have on their shoulder moving forward toward this game. But anything else that you guys have around this World Series game, at least game three, or this series, before we start cleaning up the kitchen and getting out of here? Nobody. Silence. Okay. Well, we do have some interesting news. Like I said, we got a college football and college basketball show coming up within the week. Y'all stay tuned to that. I just been hit up by Slim Jim and Tommy B, so we're getting that in motion soon. Y'all stay tuned to that. And I think we might be putting it in the midst of Wednesday, and also the food fight will be back as well. So get ready, me, Nacho. We got a new chef in the building for the food fight also that is a known writer for a big-time website too. So y'all stay tuned, Sports City. I got a lot of things to work for us. And Yeah, like I said, November's in front of us. Halloween, everybody have a safe holiday tomorrow. Also, don't drink and drive. Don't hit no children. Take care of everything, man. But I need plugs and closeouts from each of you as we shut down the kitchen tonight. I'm gonna come to you first, Pat. Give me anything that's on your mind, anything that you'd like to plug or promote before we get out of the kitchen here at the round table.
Hey, everybody have a good weekend. Enjoy the games. Go Raiders.
Who do you guys play this weekend?
The Jets.
I gotta save Chandler, but this is big. Yeah, you gotta come here Sunday, because last time I told you to come here Sunday, you ducked out. But it's okay, because I need you before that game. I need you before that game. That'll be some good stuff. Matthew, I need a plug, close out, promote before we get out of the round table.
Good. Sorry I missed some of it, but good show. I wanted to call out your boys while I can until they come back. Orlando is up 17 in the second quarter against Oklahoma City. The Hawks are playing Charlotte tonight. Look for them to get an easy win. And Falcons should roll Tampa Bay. Auburn, I'm not too worried about. Their season's done. Y'all have a good one.
I know this, Matt. If they come back, answer your phone. That's all I'm going to tell you. If the Thunder come back, answer your phone.
You know me. It's Friday. I'll be up all night, baby.
Yeah, but I know how people click me to voicemail. I know that. It's been done before. Nacho, I need a plug, close out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut down the round table.
You know, talking about the food fight, just a little bit of a little bit of dipping into the pot if you want. November has a lot in store. Timothy Bradley versus Brandon Rios. Provodnikov's come back to the ring. Zab Judah comes back to the ring. Gary Russell Jr. is back in the ring. We all know the big fight, Cotto, Canelo, Klitschko and Fury. There's so many fights in November that it's overwhelming. So you got that new chef. I'm excited to meet him. We get back in the full fight. There's going to be a lot to discuss, especially as it comes. And like you said, these blur months are the best. At Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. This show was amazing. I got to sit here and watch Ty, bloom and glory and love Tom Brady because he knows the real number 12 is in green and he's got to face him twice a year. But I understand you want to digress and talk about someone else for a change, winning. When there's, I think, there's five teams in the NFL that are undefeated. But for some reason, Tom Brady is the only one that's good. When we get to this weekend, there will definitely be one less undefeated team. Sunday night, Packers, Broncos, right here. This is going to be a great test for Aaron Rodgers and this number one defense. So I'm not going to be too, petty and too mean on this Denver team, but you're facing the best in the league right now. And Aaron Rodgers. So this is definitely going to be a 32. I'll give, Peyton two touchdowns. So 32-14. I expect a couple interceptions from my defense, a lot of sacks. Peyton doesn't stand a chance. So this is going to be a great game for my team, solidify this undefeated record, and then maybe TP can see that there's other quarterbacks in the league that can play the game.
The real number 12? Who, Andrew Luck? or I don't know. Wait, Rodgers? Are you really comparing Rodgers to Brady? I mean, Rodgers is great. Yeah, he's a great quarterback. But you're not comparing Rodgers to Brady. Stop it. Stop that, man. Stop it. Bloom and gloom and do all of this. Man, stop it. You won't be there cheating like his first grade picture that you could go on and have fun all you want. Look at you right now. Look at your face. Look at you. Chill, I need a plug, close out, promote as we shut down. The round table.
No, Syndergaard just sat the leadoff hitter on his behind because he went up and in. Yeah, he moved him off the plate, got the Royals upset. It's about to go down. The Rangers are winning. 1-0. The Zoom scored. What else was I going to say? Just basically, I missed a couple of shows. You start adding people and adding shows. All right, fine. Whatever. I don't want to talk college football, but whatever. We got some right for another. Right, too. I wrote once. I wrote a sentence once. They don't talk about how much I write. That's right. I'm going in.
Wow.
Anyway, I had a lot of fun with y'all tonight, man. Everybody, thanks for coming, man. I had a lot of fun.
Now, C-Sports City, y'all see what I did? I'm going to tell y'all something, Sports City. Y'all know why I was pushing to put more shows in the kitchen? Nostradamus. Nostradamus told me to get off of my high horse and work, Ty. So what did I do? I told him to chill out. I got him. I started doing what he's telling me to do. And y'all just heard the rant he just gave me. Y'all just heard the rant that he just gave me. Wow. Like, I'm stunned. Like, I don't know what to do. I feel like that dog that just did the right thing in front of their owner, and their owner's still pissed. And it's like, like, really? Like, that face turned his head? Like, I don't know what else you want me to do, man. I'm trying. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, Chef. We'll be back tomorrow, food fighting the thing up. And if Chandler want to get into a college football show, Chandler want to talk about the sorry St. John's, Red Storm, Redmond back in the day when I used to watch ball, or Chandler want to talk about Charles Haley, like, I don't know about him and that big punk-ass neck roll. I talk about all of that, man. You already know the smoking. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chef again. And if they don't know, I'm not playing with these fools, man. Now they know.
Let me take y'all somewhere else right now.
Looking for a needle in a haystack.
A nigga got zoned out with me, man.
Right,
got zoned out with
me. Left the center. Zoned out with me.
November. Oh, shit.